Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take it a cent, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. I want to thank everybody for all of the lovely tweets that you sent yesterday. There have been hundreds. Since my mom passed, I am going to respond to all of them. I started doing it yesterday, but there's hundreds of them, so I'm going to take the week to do it. I can't thank you guys enough. Super grateful. We do get tweets at Beating the Book, by the way, still to come this hour. Mac Verstandig talking election betting with us. We'll also, of course, have Paul Carr talking Champions League. Will Hill standing by, but we do get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback, the non-my mom category here. Let us begin with, this is from Joey. This is from RB Treff, Bob C137, talking about yesterday's show. He said, I have a colonoscopy and endoscopy coming up in a couple weeks. Not looking forward to the prep, obviously, but I love apple juice. There's a glimmer of hope. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The variety of actionable information on this show is never ending. Thank you, Bob C-137.
You know what? One drink I can't pass by and not purchase is one of the old glass bottles of Martinelli's apple juice.
Oh yeah, little things.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Whenever I see those anywhere, I'm like, gotta have one of those.
Bob C-137, like a city ordinance. Again, the hack was, again, if you have to go under a colonoscopy, the prep is disgusting. But if you buy clear apple juice, you can get away with it. It's allowed. Rich Copro, Gil, I heard the tribute you gave your mom on a numbers game. Will you give the eulogy at my funeral? Yes, I am going to start a side business where I just eulogize folks. I'll start a website on that. That's very kind of you, Rich. Thank you so much. This is from A. Brown. Didn't expect to be moved to tears at the end of ANG yesterday. What a story of an amazing life. First woman IDF officer, quote, assistant to the cultural attaché, unquote, scouring post-sports page to bridge the gap with her son. Hail Miriam. If you ever write a book about your mom, I'll be first in line. Thank you, A. Brown. That's very kind of you as well. Really appreciate it. This is Shooter McGamblin. Can't believe they scheduled the election on Maction opening night. That's another thing.
Another thing. That's right. Yeah, so what have they been doing? College football's been like, because they've been midweek like the whole year, right? But it's been like Conference USA and Sun Belt, I think.
I just find the...
And now it's the official start of Maction or something?
Yeah, I just find the inability to factor in election night as you're making these things from the beginning pretty interesting. A couple more here. This is from Joby, the real Joby. This is an NBA question. After opening at around minus 180 to win NBA Defensive Player of the Year, Victor Wembanyama's odds have drifted to plus 140 at some major shops. Is now the time to jump into the market, or do you see this drifting further as a Chet Holmgren narrative builds?
Yeah, I would. I would not be firing now. Let this continue to drift. This is a. Look, this is a Spurs defensive problem in general. This is a team defensive issue. Wemby will look better. The team will look better at some point. Right now, though, they are not great. And on the defensive side of the ball as a whole, and you start looking at even an on-off splits with him, they're not very flattering for him, even of when he's on the court versus when he's off the court. I think it's going to continue to drift. I'm not saying it's not a good bet at some point and that it could still come home, but there's no reason to jump in now.
Let me do one more because I want to get to Will. Gil, you nailed it. This is from Trip Tepper. Gil, you nailed it. The biggest factor in the two-point play calculus is this. Who is the opposing quarterback? If it's Mason Rudolph, you could kick the PAT. Mm-hmm. If it's Mahomes, you 100% go for two. You have the game on your racket. Go win the game. I love that expression. Use it all the time. Yes. It's all I really care about. Who am I playing? Do I want to play football against this guy anymore? I do not. Let me go for two. Will Hill joins us now, everybody. He is he can be found on Twitter at not the Will Hill. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, and of course, is a co-star of the Megapod and Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire podcast empire over there at Fox Sports. Will joins us now. How you doing, man?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm good. It's good to have you back. Always miss the show when you're not on. Todd and I have talked. We're going to let you back on the Megapod this week.
So thank you. Appreciate it.
It's Todd's podcast. What can you do? Thank you.
He was
for
good
that.
Last week. He was there was a different version of Todd. He was more mellow. He was professional. He played a good point guard last week.
I forgot who tweeted this, so forgive me. But someone, the best comment about it was Todd was, quote, oddly professional, unquote, which I thought was a great comment. So I really appreciate you guys doing it for me. All right. Well, let's talk about, first of all, NFL Week 10. Have you made bets?
I did take the Panthers plus the points just because I don't know that the Giants should be favored by 5 over anyone. And I text you this. I don't know if you saw this. Can I jump in on the 2-point, the bowl stuff? Because sure. I feel like I have a different opinion. I think the correct thing to do was to let the clock run to like 15 seconds, not call timeout, try to score the touchdown, then go for two. But once you screwed it up by calling timeout and scoring with 27 seconds left, I don't know that the 2-point play is as automatic because you're just making Mahomes more aggressive. You're putting him in automatic 4-down territory if you do get the 2-point conversion because, like, look what happened. It was 4th and 1 or 2, and, hey, it's tied. We'll punt. We'll go to overtime. If you're up by 1, he's going for it, and he's probably getting it. So once you left him that much time, 27 seconds is a long time. I think the bigger, by far the more egregious mistake is calling the timeout right away. I think, like, 15 seconds left. Look, you're at the 1. Those plays don't take that long. I don't know, 15, 17 seconds left. That's like the sweet spot of when to call timeout. And then you score, and then you go for 2. But once you left them that much time, I just think you're making Mahomes more aggressive by going for the 2 there.
I mentioned both of those gaffes. The first one was the timeout at 30 seconds, which made no sense whatsoever, right? Because Mahomes, Buffalo Bills fans, stand up. You remember it. Among other Patrick Mahomes miracles late.
That was a thought that crossed my mind as well, Will. Like, oh, man. But all it did, though, was lead me to going back to that makes the timeout that much worse. I still would have gone for it, but that thought was in my head.
Todd Bowles was almost saved, though, because the part we left out is once they kicked the extra point to tie the game, remember, there was the 27 seconds left, so the Chiefs had it in mind to go down, matriculate, get a field goal to win the game in regulation. Mahomes had not one but 2 passes almost picked in that last sequence. So he almost got bailed out that way, and he did not. But I stand by what I said, which is you don't call the timeout at 30. It's interesting what you're saying is once you do, though, then just kick the extra point so that the Chiefs are more sort of willing to go to overtime kind of thing.
Right.
So I think that's an interesting point.
It's almost like, and this will be the last thing, it's almost like, remember in the Super Bowl, the debate of like, do you take the ball? Do you not take the ball for the 49ers? And one of the big points was, and I don't think Shanahan did anything wrong. You ideally don't want to put Mahomes in a situation where he has to score and he has all 4 downs to work with.
Pretty simple to me. What did you say about Week 10? You don't have anything Week 10? Nothing?
Nothing I love in the NFL. I did take the Panthers plus the 5 just because I don't think the Giants should be favored by 5 over anyone. That should be an exciting game Sunday morning. London, Germany. I don't know if we could just leave both teams. Young actually looked decent last week. I was happy for him. You know, he's obviously, you know, been through a lot. Seems like a decent kid. The league, if anything, needs more quarterbacks. I'm rooting for him to be, you know, a half decent quarterback. I don't know that he'll ever be, you know, worthy of number 1 pick, but he looked comfortable. He was making plays. He at least saw the glimpses of, like, you know, him, the seeds of him being a decent player. So I do like that. And there's a couple awards I still like.
Okay.
Jonathan Gannon is 20-1 coach of the year at FanDuel. They have 5 wins. They're in first place. Seems like San Francisco loses on all pro player pretty much every week. They already won head to head against San Francisco. And I think in San Francisco, and if you look at the schedule, home against the Jets, they're a small favorite. They play the Panthers. They play the Patriots. They play the Seahawks twice. If they got to 10 wins and won the division, and let's just say Washington is a wild card, doesn't win the division, I know that would hurt your feelings. Gannon, to me, 20-1. I think he's a good coach. I thought he did a great job last year. I was on their under wins last year. And, man, that team fought tooth and nail every single game. So, to me, 20-1 at FanDuel for Gannon coach of the year is still a pretty good bet. And I was talking about this with Bear. He's on my podcast. It's airing tomorrow. Burrow's on pace for like 40 something touchdowns, just a ridiculous statistical season. He's not going to win enough games to win MVP. He's 100-1 at FanDuel to win offensive player of the year. Could they give him like a little, hey, your team didn't win enough for MVP, but if you're going to throw 42 touchdowns, could he somehow win offensive player of the year? I know that's more of like that's evolved into who's the best non-quarterback. That was just something that crossed my mind at 100-1.
At 100-1, that's worth a discussion about. Absolutely. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. The Jonathan Gannon thing is very interesting because you're right. The schedule is super easy. They played before this last week, and all three of us, we didn't know what each other's bets were. All three of us on the Megapod had Arizona, and it worked out very splendidly for us, which usually doesn't happen when all three of us are on something. But part of the calculus of that was the Bears had played a really easy schedule and the Cardinals had played a really tough one, and that changes for the Cardinals moving forward. Let me just tell you, though, that Washington destroyed them. I know that's not what you mean by your...
They did.
Yes.
They did.
But your point remains. If Washington were to not win the division, that would take Dan Quinn a notch down, I guess is what you're saying, in that Coach of the Year award market. Anything college football?
I did play under 55 Georgia and Ole Miss. I just think there's a, first of all, Georgia's just not the same offensive team without Bowers, without McConkey. They just haven't replaced those guys. And Beck has just been a turnover machine. I think Georgia probably, they don't want a repeat of Alabama. They may be going to this game a little conservative, run the ball, punt, play defense. And Ole Miss is underrated on defense. And I know they had an explosion this week, but before this week, they had not sniffed 30 points in SEC play. So to me, this is more of a, 24-21, 27-24 type of game. I do like under 55. And a couple quick ones, Kelly, NBA. I've had my eye on the NBA. Are we sure the Milwaukee Bucks at 1-6 are making the playoffs? They're plus 570 to miss the playoffs. Them in Denver are very concerning. Denver, I know they have Jokic. He's still the best player. That's like a G League team around him. So those are two that are on my radar here.
To miss the playoffs, you
said? I've gotten this text so many times in the past 3 days about the Milwaukee Bucks. It's rough. Obviously, the same problems that they had last year, Will, they still exist. You're seeing them, obviously, every night. I mean, the question is some of this, the Giannis trade rumor stuff that's going on, right? Which, it's been going on for 3 years, but it is heating up real quick all of a sudden. So that would be, I would normally say no. If Giannis is still there, they're not going to fall far enough that they'd actually miss the playoffs. But if he's gone, then sure, it's live.
Willie, sorry, not sorry about the Yankees, by the way. I should send that condolences.
You'd have to go there.
Apologize. It's uncalled for. That's what that was. Thank you, Will. Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill on the Twitter machine. Some good awards thoughts in the NFL.
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll come back. Paul Carr on the Champions League coming off a 3-0 Premier League weekend. That's next, right here on a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With so many sports in action, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. 19 hours of live programming, power, strength, and better ratings used by pro handicappers, plus our exclusive betting splits. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the wonderful feedback. Best listeners in the game. 3Jack, H3131. What I heard in the first segment, Patrick Mahomes is a polluting hack, apolitically speaking. It's a mashup of everything we talked about there. So much Chiefs fatigue here. Have a great day. He is the, he hacks the sport. As in a computer hacker is what I'm talking about. Kyle Sullivan. That's not right. Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate it. That wasn't what I meant to read. This is from Ryan Hyatt. Oh, the great Ryan Hyatt, who was very appreciative of Matt Brown last week. Yes, he said, as Gil is prone to say, today's presidential election betting markets are the ultimate example of, at the end of the day, we don't know a damn thing. Great segments with Drew this morning, and we bet on this stuff. The Better Life, Tim Lawson. Loins girded. I caught that from Drew. I couldn't let it hang any longer, if you know what I mean. Cheap prop bets. So frustrated to be a Bears fan because we know Eberflus won't come back next year as a coach, yet they won't fire him now. This is so true.
Yes.
It's so true. Yes. There's no chance he's back next year, right?
This
was Kelly what was saying before this season. That's right.
I caught so much crap from that from everybody. Well, so many tweets.
Because they finished strong last year, and then they had Caleb. Yeah, they're not going to fire him then.
But that shouldn't be an excuse. If one guy sucks at his job, doesn't mean why are you going to let him bring down your rookie quarterback?
Bill Hooker, already issues with voting machines. You're probably on the right side. Bill, if you're trying to connect the dots there, that the reason that I'm on the right side is because of some chicanery, let's not do that. Blue Hen Bill,
Where can I bet props? Like, is there going to be this problem in this state, this excuse, this whatever? Yes, on all those.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, 350 million people in this country, what sets us apart, the great nation of the United States from every other country, is that we've done this democracy experiment for over 200 years. What is it now, Kelly? Like almost 250 almost.
Sure, yeah.
We're too shy of 250. For God's sakes, what makes us special? The fact that we all on one day, we all go to polling booths. I know there's early voting now, but most of us go to the polling booths and with like a pencil or however a magic marker, mm-hmm. whatever the system is in your state, and we vote on who we want our government officials to be. If you stop and you think about this thing, it's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable. And people have died for this right. So please, everybody go out and vote. This is from Blue Hen Bill. Thank God Bowles didn't think like most of us, had Kansas City -2.5 as the last leg of 2 5-team teasers. Was sure he would go for 2 if Tampa Bay scored, which makes me a loser no matter what. I went from dope back to being a genius again. LOL. Blue Hen Bill, that's how a lot of this works. Mike Zill's Duke 90 says, Merrill Hodge also always dressed well and has taught me and the 20 to 50 year olds in Pittsburgh at that age. The downtown flagship Brooks Brothers store is friendly and wonderfully overstaffed.
You gotta love. I didn't read that full tweet when it came across.
Wonderfully overstaffed is an interesting turn of a phrase, because have you ever been in a store where it's like it's overstaffed and it's a little awkward? You're there's so many people in here.
Or like if you go to the I always describe the mattress store as the most awkward. Like whenever you got to buy a mattress, like I think I've only done it like twice in my life, but it is terrible. Like of where you're in this store, nobody else is in, because like how often you got to buy a mattress? Like once every 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is.
Yeah, San Francisco.
The guy's just sitting there like watching you lay on every bed being like, how's that one?
You know how local radio, some of the biggest ads are always car dealerships or whatever it is. In San Francisco, it's mattress stores because it's a very transient town. Mm. And the mattress stores are always super well lit late into the night. Do you know why that is?
No, but I've noticed that.
Because they are worried that folks will get into the mattress store and sleep on their mattresses.
That makes sense.
Okay, there you go. A little mattress intel for you. And then finally, StatLogic Sports. He also chimes in with gird your loins, LMAO. Had to look up gird spelling. Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, Paul Carr has been kind enough to hang with us. He's the guy that moves the chains in soccer for us every year, just moves them forward. Coming off a 3-0 Premier League weekend, he joins us now from Topeka, Kansas. By the way, Paul Carr, by the way, you can find him on Twitter, @PaulCarr. Also the host of the Expected Value podcast. We actually quoted True Media Sports yesterday when talking about that Commodore stat, 42.5 yards per drive, the most ever in the history of the National Football League, weeks 1-9. So thank you for that.
It's pretty good. We're here to help people tell their stories better, find their stats, do the research. It's always good to see it out in the wild.
Speaking of stories, you wanted to chime in on the two-point thing?
So I live in Kansas. I'm surrounded by Chiefs fans. And you always throw out the truth serum test. So the last two minutes of regulation were hilarious with all my friends, because first it's, oh no, we let the Bucks down to the one. Yelling for the Chiefs to call timeout, but the Bucks beat them to it. So everybody, all the Chiefs fans are happy. And then they're telling them, just let them score on the first play. They defended the first down and lost 3 seconds. Didn't matter too much. And then it's praying the Bucks are going to go for two. There was this moment of dread that set over everybody, like, oh no, they're going to go for two. And then they decided to kick. Everybody was happy and had full confidence after that.
Praying that they were not going to go
correct.
For two.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. You're going to be terrified that the Bucks were going to go for two and you're going to lose this dumb game that you were mostly in control of the whole time.
Betting truth serum is everything, man. It really is.
So there you go. Bulls should have taken a timeout, then just like asked the crowd, should I go for two or not? then he would have figured it out.
Ask Bucks backers. Yeah. All right. Now, here's the deal. We have Champions League happening right now. You sent your picks in. I noticed there was a couple Portuguese teams. There was a Serbian team involved.
Oh, yeah.
This is today and tomorrow. Start with today's. What do you have here? You have the old double chance. Explain that to folks.
Yeah. Well, first, if you need a distraction during the day to get through the day and all the things that are going on, we got Champions League for you soon. So the double chance is also, it's just plus half a goal. Different books call it different things, but it's the same bet. It's to win or draw. So I have Sporting double chance, -105 versus Man City today. Always a little scary to bet against Man City, but they have not been the same. Mentioned this time or two since Rodri, their star midfielder who just won the Ballon d'Or, is the best player in the world. He's out for the season with an injury. So he's not there, and they have not been as potent offensively. They have not been as structured defensively without him. Sporting is rolling in the Portuguese league, as they often do. They've won all 10 games by a combined 35-3. Obviously, none of those teams are as good as Man City is, but Man City is just scuffling along. They lost to Bournemouth. over the weekend like I thought they might. And I like Sporting here. You get almost even money on a double chance at home. Minus 105 for Sporting here.
Speaking about rolling through their National League, Red Star Belgrade is doing so in Serbia. They're taking on Barcelona, or the Castellanos pronunciation, Barcelona, some people like to say. You wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total. You're going over 3.5 here.
Yeah, here's your over. Both these teams really cruising in their domestic leagues so far. It's Barcelona, after whipping up on Real Madrid, are in first place in La Liga. Barcelona beat Bayern Munich last time out, 4-1 at home. I like over 3.5. I got this at minus 102. Minus 105s are out there this morning. That's fine. This is fairly straightforward. It's a little bit of a brain dead pick in the sense that, look, Barcelona beat Young Boys 5-0. They beat Bayern 4-1. Red Star, their last couple Champions League games, they lost 5-1 to Monaco. They lost 4-0 to Inter. Neither one of those teams looks, maybe Inter's as good as Barcelona right now, but Monaco certainly is not. And Red Star Belgrade, they're up again. Good start in the Serbian League, which is not one of the top leagues in Europe. So don't put a ton of stock in that when it comes to Champions League time. But this is a Barcelona team that can obviously hang goals on you. I'll say this again. Goal difference is the first tiebreaker in this massive group stage that we have this season for Champions League. So you're encouraged to go out and score 4 goals or something like that. I think this is a 3-1, 4-0 type of Barcelona win. So over 3.5, minus 102 is the price I got.
That game also meets the Kelly Bidlin sports betting axiom, right? Correct? Which is?
Yeah, this is more of a corollary. Like, the axiom, I think, is take the team you've heard of or the team you haven't. And so I guess the corollary here is expect a lot of goals when a team you're playing or a team you've heard of is playing a team you haven't. So we'll take the over here.
I like that you just brought that up, Gil. I immediately went to alter Paul's bet, and I thought in my mind, this is a great explanation. I'm going Barcelona team total over.
There you go. If you had axioms and corollaries on the show today, you cash big. And then finally, tomorrow, Bundesliga against Portugal's La Liga again, right?
Yeah, the Bayern Munich didn't work out last time playing Barcelona, but this is kind of, I think, a get right game for them. I'll lay the goal and a half at minus 125 against Benfica. Benfica, again, decent Portuguese team, but Bayern has not necessarily gotten the results this season, but their underlying numbers look like they're as good as they always are. So this is just kind of straightforward again. Bayern is at home. Benfica lost 3-1 at home to Feyenoord last time in Champions League, so that's not great. And now they're going on a road against a much better team. So just very simple here. I'm taking Bayern, laying the goal and a half. They may be a name the score type of thing. So yeah, take the better team at home and lay the goal and a half here. Pretty easy here.
All right, Paul Carr's Champions League picks in review today. Sporting double chance versus Man City. Man City down Rodri here in this game. So taking the double chance with Sporting. And then tomorrow, Red Star Belgrade and Barcelona, the over 3.5 goals, and Bayern Munich in the get right game. Laying a goal and a half against Benfica. So there you go. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. We'll come back. Some election betting thoughts from Mac Verstandig. He's a gaming attorney. He's got some bets for us on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet from Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. First Bet's got you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Jason McKinney. Let Paul know I appreciate the 3-0 from last weekend. Made a soccer parlay because of a soccer parlay boost. Cash and tickets for Jason McKinney. Brian Morianen, Joe Burrow 5-1 for comeback. Maybe split offensive player of the year in comeback since Kirk is going to Kirk soon, he says. Love that. Looking at Denver and at Minnesota. And then Brad Peterson, and thank you for this, Brad. Brad Peterson tweets and he says, if you're betting on the election today, you are a special kind of degenerate, and I salute you. Oh, we're not degenerates. We're just looking for betting opportunities, man. I would argue it's one of the greatest betting opportunities there is. But he says also, if you do want fair and balanced election coverage, VSiN with Gil. These guys only care about one thing, making money. I like the Dems, he says. Take Iowa 4-1, which is one of my bets. Before we get to Mac Verstandig, who is patiently standing by, I just want to say one thing because we brought this up off air. You were talking about commercials, political ads that are driving you crazy. My thing is this. We're about to go into an election booth here in Nevada, and there's it's a very short ballot, right? And there's only like seven questions. In California, we call them propositions, right? I don't know what we call them here technically. I consider myself a fairly intelligent human being, but these are the biggest word salads that are designed to confuse you. You could study this for a day and you still wouldn't know which way. In California, Bill Maher brought this up on Real Time this past weekend. When I used to live in California, it was almost like they were purposely worded of, if you bet yes, you're voting for this, but a no means a yes and a no on this. Like, it's complete. You take about five different turns before you think you know what you're voting on.
So that was, when did I finally leave Florida? 2016, same thing. That was when sports betting was first put up for a vote there. But they combined it with the dog racing. So it was like, if you wanted to, you know, if you wanted to keep injuring innocent animals, well, then you could have sports betting too. So it's like they twisted it all around, all by design. Yeah. So everybody wanted to get rid of the dog racing, which I understand. It's tough watching those gray rats.
Remember, they messed
up. But you also voted against sports betting.
They messed up sports betting in California because they had two propositions last time. And the general electorate got so sick and tired of both of them and not knowing which was which or what anything meant that it didn't pass. That's part of the reason.
We tried to. I don't think of us much as political leaders, but remember how much we did on that just to try to help clarify it for people?
100%. Mac Verstandig joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always a pleasure to see him. He's a gaming attorney. He comes to us from Maine, where I believe he's already got his I voted sticker on. How you doing, Mac?
I'm good, Gil. Got down to the polls at 7 a.m. and did my part for the democratic process.
There you go. Okay, so let's just start at the top. What is your sense as to how this goes today vis-a-vis sort of the polling that has been out there?
This is exactly as cliche as the media has made it out to be. It's going to be one of the tightest races of our lifetime. And from a betting point of view, that means anything you see with a positive number that's not in an insane state probably has value as the day goes on.
Give me a sense of what is not an insane state that might have previously been considered as that. I'll give you an example. I ended up betting Kamala in Iowa at 4-1. Is that possibly in play?
That is possibly in play. So Iowa's sort of a wild story. It was not very polled because no one thought Iowa would be in play in this election. It's a safe Republican state. There was one poll a couple of months ago. It showed Trump winning by a handful of points. Everyone moved on. And then the Des Moines Register, which is the newspaper of record in Iowa, drops a poll a few days ago that has Harris up 3%. And there are some weird things going on in Iowa. When you're talking about 3%, you start getting into the margins. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is still on the ballot in Iowa. He's going to take about 3 to 4% of the vote. And those are almost uniformly people who would have otherwise voted for Donald Trump. There's also on the counter side a little bit of Democratic anger over the Democratic Party ditching Iowa's caucuses as the first in the nation voting event. But I suspect they've moved past that. And at 4-1, I think there's a lot of good value on Kamala Harris taking Iowa and that being the surprise state this year.
Is there another one out there that's even more of a surprise? I'm curious.
I don't think there's anything that's going to be a bigger surprise, but there is some value to be found starting in our beloved Nevada. Harris is plus 125. That's not a great number, but Nevada's probably a toss-up, if not leaning slightly Democratic. The unions are better organized in Nevada. Plus, Nevada's a great bet to make, because you get to sweat it out. Nevada is like the ultimate hold all ticket state because you're going to see returns come in and then you're going to see the rural counties come in slowly and slowly and slowly over the next few days. But I think there's some value there.
What's the, you know, all bettors are always curious. But the thing that we talked about earlier and that we've been plagued by before with betting an election is that then, you know, the electoral college or the recount doesn't get decided for, you know, almost a month in some cases. We even had a couple examples of it going all the way to January 6th to when it was certified last time. Do you sense that we're going to have a lot of that?
I hope not. Putting it all together, there are a couple of gnarly ways this could play out. there's always sort of the political scientist dream scenario where both candidates get 269 electoral votes and then the House decides. If we end up going down that rabbit hole, you're going to learn an awful lot about one congressional district in Nebraska. But my guess is that the population is going to speak pretty fluidly tonight and tomorrow. And I think we will have a good idea by this time tomorrow as to where things are headed, even if you're not seeing the Associated Press make a formal call for a day or so.
Not to oversimplify this, because I know we talk about swing states and that comes out to seven states. But does it really just come down to Pennsylvania? Like, is it possible for either former President Trump or Vice President Harris to win this without Pennsylvania?
It is possible. And the interesting counterbalance to Pennsylvania is Georgia. Harris is performing fairly well in Georgia. The early voting there leaned more Democratic than I was expecting. There's a woman named Stacey Abrams who lost a really close gubernatorial race in Georgia a couple of cycles ago, who has basically made it her life's work to get out the Democratic vote in and around Atlanta. Looking at Georgia, Harris is plus 190. That should be closer to plus 110, plus 120. Ooh. I think Georgia's really in play. And if she can pick up Georgia, that could be enough to nullify a loss in Pennsylvania and allow things to move forward that way. What's interesting, though, is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin normally vote as a block. And there is no way for either candidate to lose those three states and be elected to the presidency. That is just not in the realm of possibility.
So a sweep is Katie bar the door in those three states. That's interesting. So plus 190, you're not necessarily predicting a win, but you say that number is way off. Is there another state like that where you're sort of like, okay, probably not a win, but the number seems a little off?
Yeah, Michigan. Trump is plus 165. Michigan's going to be razor thin. The union vote there doesn't necessarily follow the suggestions that are given by leadership. It's a very blue-collar state that hews Republican in many ways. There's also, and let me be clear, I cast no judgment on what any of this means, but there are some ethnic-based issues dealing with a very pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian community that feels marginally betrayed by the Biden administration's handling of the war in Israel. If those are people who either choose not to vote for Harris, even if they don't vote for Trump, meaning they stay home, they cast a ballot for Jill Stein, whatever it may be, that could very easily flip Michigan over to Trump. And plus 165 is really a good value there.
All this is so fascinating to me. Final question here, Mac. Based on, obviously we're a big country with 3,000 miles, and so the polls will close from East Coast to West Coast. What is the first state where if it goes a certain direction, you would be like, oh, this is a portent of what's about to happen? Like, this is a bellwether that we're going to actually kind of indicate what the results will be.
So the good news is, despite the 3,000 miles, we're going to get three early evening indicators tonight. Pennsylvania and Georgia are both committed to getting their ballots counted before the night is out. Those are going to be bellwethers, and if they don't split, they both go to the same candidate, that candidate's going to win the presidency. The other thing to look for on the early part of the evening is North Carolina. If Trump carries North Carolina, don't read too much into that. But if Harris is super competitive in North Carolina or even looks to be ahead, that's going to be a very early indicator that she is likely going to be the next president of the United States.
Mac, so great. I appreciate that. That sort of puts everything in context for us. Apolitically speaking, everybody, thank you so much, Mac. Great seeing you.
Great to see you, Gil. Thank you.
Mac Verstandig, everybody. At Mac_Verstandig on Twitter. We'll come back. I buried the headline, Kelly. Election schmelection, as my mom used to say. College football guessing lines next on A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, coming up, top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. That's happening at the top of the hour. Stormy, who's Stormy on with today?
Jeff.
Jeff Schwartz. By the way, can I just say this? We have a listener named Jeff Schwartz, not our Jeff Schwartz. He told me I was wrong about the Dolphins thing. We'll get to that momentarily. Money Moves with Stormy and Jeff coming up at noon Eastern, then Prop Points with John Hansen, followed by Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 Eastern, coming up on VSiN, the Sports Network, starting at the top of the hour. By the way, the listener, Jeff Schwartz, I made a mistake yesterday on the show. I want to, can we talk about our errors as well?
Sure.
I was talking about that last lateral in the Dolphins-Bills game as, you know, people were wrong on Twitter that Tua lost that prop on that last lateral. I was saying it was wrong. He told me, our listener, Jeff Schwartz, actually it was the case. And he used to work at Stats Inc., that even though Tua throws the, you know, the negative 1 yard pass, if you will, to Devon Achane, that he still after the lateral gets docked for those yards too, which doesn't make any intuitive sense. But the man worked at Stats. So thank you, Jeff Schwartz.
Like you said, yes, those stats always get weird when it's laterals and everything. But yeah. I was a little confused because I was like, man, I feel like I saw a ton of tweets about people complaining they lost on that play.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't lose. My point was I thought his yardage was already lower and they were like retrofitting it that.
Okay.
Right. But no, it turns out it was on that. So I regret the error. My apologies.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough beat. That was a pretty rough beat.
It's a rough beat because it's such a dumb stats quirk.
Is that worse than the Mahomes Super Bowl take like six steps back, kneel down?
I think it is worse.
I think it is too.
Because Mahomes just did it himself.
Plus, there's a reason why he's doing that, right? Of course, there's a reason why the Dolphins are doing what they're doing.
You have no control over it after that.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Mahomes does. To some degree. It's time for our G-Bank Best Bets of the Day, ladies and gentlemen. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Once again, these are my election bets for the final time here. And by the way, let me just say again, please go out and vote. Apolitically speaking, I just want to make money. Kamala plus 150 to win. I have her at laying the big juices so many of us do to win the popular vote. I think she sweeps the blue wall of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Got that at plus 155. And have her winning in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, two of the blue wall states at minus 160 and minus 115, respectively. And I did take a flyer on her winning Iowa at 4-1.
All right, I like it. I did make one NFL ad during the show after Drew said he liked it. We kind of talked about it yesterday, but this Kansas City team just being able to win big and cover these big numbers, I don't love it. We talked about it on Guessing Lines yesterday. We were a little surprised it was that high considering what the Bucks were catching going into Kansas City, get the Chiefs on a short week. I did grab one of the, I think it was the last 9.5 left in town. This is quickly, it was down to 8 earlier in the show when I was looking. Might even be going south of that. And then from yesterday, Falcons 3 against the Saints for me, Eagles 6 against the Cowboys. And that is it. Nothing yet for the NBA tomorrow. As far as guests on the show, Paul Carr, Sporting double chance or that plus half goal versus Man City, Red Star Belgrade, Barcelona over 3.5, and Bayern Munich laying a goal and a half versus Benfica. And who else did we have?
Drew Dinsick had the Broncos plus 9, and he had the Skins laying the 2.5 versus the Steelers. I, too, by the way, made the Skins bet at minus 2.5 versus the Steelers. I also made the Lions bet at minus 3 versus Houston, at Houston. So I do have two football plays myself.
Like that. And then Will here, Panthers, he took 5 against the Giants. Have fun with that game. Jonathan Gannon.
Enjoy Munich.
Yeah, 22-1 coach of the year. Georgia Ole Miss under 55.
Chances of you getting up at 6:30 a.m. to watch Munich, Germany, Giants, Panthers football.
Gil, do you know how excited I was to see this was the game so I could be like, good, I can sleep through this and not even feel that bad about it. Actually, what's really great is like waking up, you like wake up my normal time to prep for like NFL stuff. So you catch like the second half anyways.
Best bets, by the way, brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. The G-Bank Visa signature card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. You know what the biggest thing for me that I learned on this show today? I was talking to Drew, right? And I was saying, hey, why did Bookmaker punt on the election? And he's telling me, oh, it's been up the whole time. I have never seen an election bet in the entire run-up on my, it is a credit account.
That is interesting.
So it's interesting that on the credit folks, they didn't have it.
You're sure you're not looking in the wrong place?
Bro, I'm telling you, I invite you to come look at it. I can read, I can see, it's never been there.
Make a phone call.
Who am I calling? Dear bookmaker.
Dear bookmaker.
We've actually had some, but we've had some bookmaker folks on the show. One bookmaker folk on the show before. Folk. Shouldn't say that singularly. Ladies and gentlemen, we saved the best for last. It's time for college football guessing lines with Kalei Bidelon. There we go. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking this might be a good time to just let it go. We haven't done it in a couple weeks. But then Wyatt Tomchak threw three games at me. And you would have liked this response. I texted back after digging into the very first game. And I said, Colorado 6-2? Who knew this?
Yeah.
Where's all the hype from last year? Where's all the hype?
They're going bowling, baby.
We couldn't stop talking about it for 6 weeks last year, and I feel like I've barely seen Dion this year.
You've seen Dion, but yes, no, it's a good point because remember the first 3 weeks of last year.
It was insane.
It was because remember we were even like it was good for content.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yes, it was overblown last year. But
it is an interesting college football season in that there are still a ton of, and you know, there's 4 weeks left in the college football regular season. There's a ton of undefeateds and one loss teams. And much of that has to do with the fact that you have these massive conferences now and so your schedules don't necessarily hit all of the hardest teams to play.
Right.
And so you have this very top heavy thing going into a 12-team playoff eventually, at least with 4 weeks left. We'll see how it pans out. Speaking of one loss teams, Georgia, 7-1. Against Ole Miss, 7-2, fighting Lane Kiffin's. What do you got here?
All right, first of all, does my Carson Beck Heisman ticket still have a chance? Because they keep winning, but he keeps throwing like 8 interceptions a game, right?
He is very up and down.
Yeah. Hopefully you can get there, Carson. That'd be nice. All right, Georgia, 11-1 in their last 12 against Ole Miss. Georgia, 1-6, though, ATS in their last 7 games? That's no good. Okay, Kentucky. This is a weird one. I went down a Kentucky road here. Kentucky beat Ole Miss, then lost to UGA, but only by 1 point. So, okay, these teams are kind of close. Georgia on the road. I know they got to be favorites in this game. I made it 5.5. I didn't go the full touchdown, but it felt like it had to be more than a field goal, less than a touchdown. So I went dead area 5.5.
You got no respect for Ole Miss. Actual retail value, Georgia -3.
Okay.
Value on the Bulldogs, according to Kalei Bidelon.
That's right. Carson Beck's just got to keep it under control.
Have you been tracking how good you have been on this in terms of your value?
I think pretty good overall, actually. We just haven't done it in a couple weeks.
Again, the point of this segment, ladies and gentlemen, is that Kelly knows other sports really well. NBA, golf, other sports. College football, not so much.
Yeah, NBA. 7 points at closing line value yesterday. That didn't work at all.
Let's do two more of these. What's next? Hit it.
We got Bama LSU next.
Bama LSU. 6-2 versus 6-2. You lose this one, Kalei Bidelon. There ain't going to be no 12-team playoff, more than likely, for you.
Oh, yeah. Good call. I guess, is this where this is the first team that we have the three-loss conversation about, whoever loses this?
I mean, yeah, I guess kind
of. Or not really, if it's LSU.
I mean, we have no evidence to support from previous years of how this will actually work out. But, yeah, it's generally considered that if you get the third loss here, you're behind the 8 ball.
Okay, so maybe that makes this game matter a little bit more, but like I love the new playoffs, love the expanded playoffs. I keep coming back to, how does this not hurt the regular season though? Like, do these
rivals? Oh, it does.
Yeah, you know, like this just doesn't feel like as big of a game as what it normally does or should. All right, this one I feel like is relatively simple because these are Alabama, LSU. They're both pretty good again this year. How the heck could you make this more than a field goal basically any year anyways? It's usually what we see it around. Bama 8-2 head-to-head last 10 in these games. How about the ATS records for these teams real quick? 4-4? 4-4 for Bama?
Let's go with your original
LSU
thought.
3
your original thought was the best.
Yeah, no, Bama 2.5 is what I made.
It really can't be far from that,
I was
right?
Just gonna throw, it can't be far from that,
Alabama
right?
Alabama -3. There you go. You're right on it.
It's Bama 3?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This was a softball. You had to get that one.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Wyatt.
You should hold me to a minimal level of just betting expectation.
All right. Then finally, we'll make the level of difficulty a little harder on the last one. Colorado, speaking of Colorado, 6-2 Buffaloes against Texas Tech.
6-2? Do people know about this team?
Do people know? I'm pretty sure they have the internet. And TVs.
All right, we don't have much time. I made Colorado 8-point favorites. Shadur's still doing his thing.
Two people know.
Like, okay. Dion's not on every TV.
Yeah.
3.5. Okay. That I was off on that one. That was my
worst. That was your whole explanation? I was like waiting for a dissertation on it. Yeah, you're off.
I'm off on that one. All right.
Value on Colorado, though, according to Kaylee Bedley.
Value on the Buffs.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It is Election Day again. Go out, vote. Do your duty and your privilege as an American citizen and cast your ballot. Good luck to all. Stormy is next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.